Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a second attempt at trying to flesh out what a research paper will be on, I suppose, basically education. So having read through my grandfather's book from 1930s called Mathematics Simplified, it occurred to me that there is a current theme which is of research interest, research paper interest. So there's two aspects to it. Why would you want to write a research paper? Well, it is a product at the end of an area of endeavour, is a research paper. So it's sort of summarizes work that you're doing. So you may be in the lab researching cancer, and you may not find the cure for cancer, but as you go year after year, your insight trying to get there, so your struggle to understanding, is worthy of some sort of paper. So the struggle for understanding here is that there is such a big accumulation of fossilized or dead ideas. So the ideas that this Hills constructed for counters that he was writing about is dead. And do you take how do you actually treat this? Do you treat this as rubbish, discard junk, or do you treat it as a historical site that you look at, or do you go to another stage and actually look at it as a window of sort of a study to see how our attitudes to it actually demonstrate our what sort of society we are. So one of the things that you could say, one of the strange things is that ancient sites do not contain, one thing they don't contain is evidence of getting across here, yes, just checking, when you dig up the say a Greek site, old Greek city, you don't unearth an archaeology department. It's sort of like it's the sort of only thing that we do, but the sort of lack of archaeology is, or the lack of introspection is an interest, is a window into our current mind. So our, what we currently do is we say, look, we're not interested in that, that's discarded. And so that's actually a real window, a signal into our society. So we will say preserve particular stately homes, but anything which is sort of a scrappy home of a worker, something like that, we'll throw away, because that's, there's a sort of value judgment that's embedded into how we look into our past. And that value judgment looking into our past turns around as the same lens that looks into our past as the lens that we look into the future. And so it's not unsurprising that someone who's got a slightly different view of the future will have a slightly different view of the past. And looking into it, there's sort of like a series, almost anything you care to look at has this tension of knowledge. That seems to be that if you constructed a shed, that would be a shed, or you set up a business, it's a business. But if you go into looking at knowledge, something that represents knowledge, that excites that sort of currency which really resonates in society. So one thing that resonates in society was that story of the platypus, about how this poor platypus, the result was of European lack of understanding, is that it got slaughtered in large numbers and sent back to Europe to become a pawn in a greater debate on creationism versus evolutionism. And that again unleashes a state of how people want to control entire knowledge system. And the state of control of the knowledge system is actually outside science, where we sort of look above knowledge systems and one knowledge system and another knowledge system. What is the relationship between the two? So use like two landmarks to define a line of inquiry, because the objective is not the discovery, it's the line of inquiry. Similarly with the Hill's constructive counters, that was going certain paths, but it was stopped for certain reasons, and it has an attitude now. People's attitude is, it's not used now, it's no good, we've moved on. The decision, the decision of society is a final decision. It's sort of living within that societal confines of that reaction to knowledge. And this is something that I found. And then you can look at a whole series of things, like missing steps. I just have to make sure that I don't get crushed by this. Okay, that's okay. There's a big truck merging in front. Wouldn't want to be on the outside of it, but it's all okay. We're just going to take our time coming up the hill. So this is just a really, really quick dive into trying to actually get the idea that these things are worth examining, not to make a statement about their truth or lack of truth, their validity or not, but to look at the attitudes surrounding how they're processed. It tells us about our society, how we look at the past, in how we look at the future. So, for instance, from the Hill's constructive counters, there's a logical step forward of these cards. Now, I'm not promoting the cards. It's not in that framework. There's not a commercial way forward. But you can't even get to be looked at because it's not made in China. The business model is not looking for innovation in Australia. And you can be all upset looking at the thing of this attitude going forward. Or then you can look at, well, how is it so that people in this particular process, they are very good at functioning in terms of commercial functioning, but they're not in terms of getting innovation to come forward. And the issue is that if this is, so let's rewind. There's Hill's constructive counters, which is a decimal metric system taught in the 1930s. Very, very revolutionary, but perhaps not relevant nowadays with the internet and a whole piece of other things, but had a solution to it. From that, there's a new innovation, okay, of these plastic cards which teach fractions. So they're just a little window with a cross across them, so you can see, you can hold it in front of it and see a fraction through it, and it allows you to do a series of mathematical operations along the same concepts of that. Now, we're looking at, that's an innovation, it works, can that be adopted? And the very short answer is no, it can't be. You phone people up and it's very, very quick turn down. I just got to remember this. It's actually quite pleasant, this new rose system. Just wondering how this operates. It's not looking at the vice or the actual pile of stones themselves, but actually looking at just coming across here. Some whip around here, mate. I'm nearly there. It's pandemonium. Poor little Glenbrook. Quiet little Glenbrook. It's got cars everywhere. There's a little market stall here. So the issue is, there is an arrangement of information, stones, and to have a thesis that this arrangement of stones has a implication that on two aspects. A, they are not authorized to enter into the cultural debate, and perhaps also the actual research paper itself is also not authorized to enter into the cultural debate. I think the actual research theme, I'll come home really quickly here, is authority for a concept to enter in the cultural debate in general. And looking at the various teams, things that close it off, allow it to happen going forward. So that's my research thing. I don't know whether... Oh, I think I'll put this out for the podcast. So I'm just really trying to do attempts to actually shape a research paper about these what appear totally disconnected, there seems to be two frontiers. One is it's probably three frontiers. Are you allowed to research? Are you allowed to come up with a concept which is outside the permitted zone? Is the practice? There's so many barriers across it, and that itself is a research paper. You know, that is, what ideas are permissible in the Australian scenario, and what are the implications for it being produced? I suppose fundamentally, if you can actually work out that it's going to be stopped, you can then change your contrast and see subtleties of the thing being produced in the future. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.